And one thing that I usually try to do when I am ministering is I try to wait for the sound of those pages to stop, because it's important that people get to read along with the pastor. If you don't bring your Bible to church, you need to. You need to get in there and you need to read it for yourself. And it says here, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. And we need to do that. We need to be wise in the way that we act towards anyone. Have you ever noticed that even people closest to you at times, they can turn on you on a dime? Amen? You can have people that have been with you for a long time, and in a moment, they're not with you. And so what we have to do is we have to learn how to be wise in the way that we interact with people. And so many times, I don't know about y'all, I mean, I'm just going to be real. I'm not on live or nothing. And, you know, there's times where I've just lost my cool. I've lost my temper. I've lost my good senses. And really, in the heat of the moment, I felt like it was justified. But when I was able to get my clear head back, I was disappointed in myself for allowing myself to do that. And we have to be wise with just our interactions that we have with other people, because we're all preaching a message. Don't kid yourself. We're all preaching a message. And I was telling Dad the other day, I said, you know, the best message that I could ever preach is not one that I'm going to be saying. It's my life. You can show somebody Jesus better than you could ever even speak it. Better than you could ever speak it, you can show them. And it says, be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Every single day, every single moment is an opportunity for you. If you're having a bad season of your life, you're still full of opportunity. You have an opportunity to trust God more. You have an opportunity to get more faith. You have an opportunity to dig down deep and to see that God has not left you. Every single thing that goes on in our life really is an opportunity. And we look at it sometimes as a curse when we really should be thanking God for the hardship at times. I have learned that in the hardest of seasons, that's when I have grown the very most. I just want to encourage you tonight, if you're going through something that's difficult, don't just be sitting there hating your life, because the same God that's brought you all this way, He can put you right back on top. But don't get discouraged, and don't be unwise with how we act towards other people. It's an opportunity. And it says, let your conversation be always full of grace. Now, I don't know about y'all. When people get on my nerves, they just flat out get on my nerves, and I don't feel like showing them grace. But see, the word says here, let your conversation be always full of grace and seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that you may know how to answer everyone. There's people in our life, and God is going to bring them in there because He has got something for us to say. You know, the devil can bait you into arguments, but God can also bait you into some things also. And God knows who to put where, because He knows who is going to listen and open their mouth when He says open it, and He knows who's not going to, and they won't keep their mouth shut. And so my message to you tonight is, you know what? Ask God for wisdom. You have not because you ask not. And the word says that we can be seasoned with salt so that we may know how to answer everyone. And that's a big deal. How many of you have ever just been speechless? I've gone through things. I've been in arguments. I've been shocked at things. And there were times where I didn't even know how to answer. But see, the word says that if you'll act in wisdom, He'll allow you to have that knowledge on how to have an answer for everything, how to have an answer. And I'm just going to keep on going here. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 15, and I'm going to look at verse 1. It's important that we know how to answer people. It's important that we know how to answer them. There was a lady. I know this is going to sound crazy, but God will use some of the most weirdest things, and He'll use them. And I'm living proof of that because I think I'm the weirdest person that I know. And I have been in the ministry my entire life, and I've seen things. I've seen tactics that work, and I've seen tactics that don't work. I can tell you one of the things that doesn't work is chasing people down. That just don't work. That'll wear a pastor out so quick. And another thing that doesn't work is when you try to make somebody agree with you. It doesn't work. It don't work. And not everybody's going to see it your way. Not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to be with you. And we got to learn how to handle that because, see, that's a key part of success. It's a key part of success to just know how to be able to sit at the same table with somebody that don't like you. You know, it's amazing because Jesus illustrated that. He allowed Judas to sit at that table before he betrayed him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I wouldn't have done that. Why? Because I don't have the character for that. I'm trying to get it. But the second I know somebody's after me, I'm ready to get them. We're going to keep it real. Because if we can keep it real, people can know how to live life and live it to the fullest, live it to the best, live and not die. And there was a lady. She came here about 3 years ago. I met her through the food ministry. And God has taught me so much about winning souls through the food ministry. I mean, it's amazing some of the things that I have learned just with the food ministry. And this lady, she started volunteering. And one day we were back in the kitchen on a Monday night. And she looked at me and she said, "Now I'm going to tell you this, and I don't want it to discourage you, but I'm not a religious person and I have no intention on going to church. And I just don't want you to take that personally, but that's just how it is." And I looked at her. Now, here's where we get it wrong. I live and breathe to pastor. I love it. There's times where it's discouraging, overwhelming, heartbreaking, but no matter what it is, it's what I was made to do. And so there's that thing inside of me that it doesn't matter, Angie, how bad the day is. I love God and I love my calling, and that's why I do it, because it's inside of me. And in every fiber of my being, it is who I am. And a lot of pastors would want to argue with somebody. Well, you need to come to church, or you need to this. And see, we can't be argumentative when somebody's already made up their mind. Right. Amen? If somebody's made up their mind, they've made up their mind. We have spent a lot of time, wasted time, trying to get people to change their mind. You know, God's the only one that can get somebody to change their mind. Amen. And sometimes He has trouble with that because people don't want to go along with what God has for them. Well, I looked at her and we were opening cans together. And I got right in her face, and I said, "Look, I'm glad you divulged that to me, and don't you worry about it. I'm not a religious person either, and I'm not going to take it personal that you don't want to go to church. That's fine with me. And I appreciate the help. I never invited her to church. I never brought it up to her. But what I did was I made a conscious decision that if she wasn't going to come and sit in the pew and hear me on Sunday, she was going to hear me on Monday. Why? Because it's called seasoning it with salt. You know, sometimes things just don't taste right without a little salt. And why would I want to argue with her when she had already made her mind up?
That's right.
See, we can argue or we can just live it out. Well, that person's here almost every Sunday. I can tell you that. Not only is she here almost every Sunday, but I actually led her in the sinner's prayer. She said, I had given up on church. I had a bad experience. I was never going back. And she said, one day I just found myself here.
Thank you, God.
I'm preaching this message because I've spent a lot of time arguing with people. I've spent a lot of time being mad people wouldn't see it my way. And if you can ever get a hold of the fact that you ain't got to sit there and argue with people over stupid stuff, you'll be better for that. Because you'll just waste your dang time. You'll get aggravated. You'll get in the flesh. You'll want to just do a number of things. But I'm going to tell you, God don't need you sitting there arguing with people. What he needs is for you to just live out your life the best that you're supposed to do and to give him glory. The best sermons that I've ever preached was none of them that I was behind this pulpit sitting here talking. But it's the ones that I've lived out. And I encourage people, other people, to live it out. Go with me to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1. See, the verse that we just read was in Colossians. In the last part of it, it says, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, God's got wisdom, and he'll teach you how to answer people in the hard, hard things. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, it says, a gentle answer. See, what did we just read about? We just talked about how do we answer people. See, God has a way to answer. But see, in his word, he says a gentle answer turns away wrath. So many times the believer is unwilling to just be gentle. Can you be gentle all the time? No, there's times, Jill, that there is no other way in leadership to be gentle. Because, see, you've done that and it ain't working. But most of the time, a gentle answer is exactly what the situation needs. But a harsh word stirs up anger, a harsh one. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16. Says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? One of the ways that you can lose your saltiness is getting yourself into little quarrels and little arguments unnecessarily. And you wear yourself out. And before you know it, you're just worn out. You've just lost some desire to do anything. It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Verse 14, you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. If there was ever a time for people to let their light shine, it's right now. There's a lot of heartache in the world. There's a lot of stuff that's going on that didn't have to go on, but people are unwilling to just turn the other cheek, unwilling to just be that light. And sadly, sadly, Christians are unwilling to be that. You know, we call wrong right and right wrong. People get offended when you preach about certain topics. Well, I'm okay, you're okay, I'm going to teach my kids this. No, let me tell you something. If you don't teach your kids what's in the Word of God, they're going to learn some things that you ain't going to like, and they're going to live out what they've learned, and you're going to grow. They're going to grow up, and you're going to be embarrassed of who they've become. And I can tell you one thing. If you prayed for your children, here's one thing that I've never taken lightly. And my kids, they're probably the most rambunctious ones in the church. But Jill, I am doing my very best concerning them. And here's what I know. I got on my knees and I asked God for them. And I have an obligation because of that prayer that I prayed and that vow that I made, Angel. I have an obligation to do what God requires of me as a parent. And when we're unwilling to do what God's required, that's when our life gets all messed up. How many of you have ever been able to look on the outside of someone's life and you can see that some of the stuff that they're doing, you're concerned about them? There's some folks I'm concerned about. But I'm taking those concerns to God. Somebody really needs to listen to this. How many of you got some folks that you're seeing some things and you're thinking, I'm concerned? There comes a point in time where you're unable to take those concerns to the people you're concerned about because they just ain't going to hear you. Because there's a devil that's wanting to work inside of their life, because that devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And if you really love that person and you're really that concerned, you need to turn that concern upwards and you need to begin to talk to God about that person that you love. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And people can sit in the pew one day and go to hell the next day. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. If what you're doing ain't making people look and praise God, you need to reevaluate your tactics. Another thing I've learned in the food ministry is to not take credit for anything that I didn't do. Did God use me to do it? Yes, He did. But look here, if I wouldn't have let Him use me, Angel, He would have found somebody else. Because see, God's going to get His way. Sometimes I sit back on a really hard day, Melissa, when things ain't going right, and I just think, oh my God, am I making any type of difference? And He begins to talk to me, Kelly, people are eating because you decided to do what I told you to do, and that is power. See, anytime you're going to do what God tells you to do, that makes you a powerful person on the planet. But what nicks away at the power that God has given us is these little stupid disagreements that we find ourselves up in the middle of. There was another lady, and she, when she first came to the food ministry, there was something about her I just didn't like. I mean, and I can tell you that I was wrong for being that way. She didn't live the kind of life that I had lived. And God would not let me let her go. And over, she just kept coming to my conscience. And there were so many times where I was tempted, Brenda, to just say, we got enough help, don't come back. Be careful who you're so quickly to write off. Because, see, you may be the only Bible that person's going to ever read. And I just kept loving on her. I thought, well, God, if you won't let me get rid of her, I guess I got no choice but to love on her. So I would just love on her. She's faithful to come every Wednesday. Just love on her. And God began to speak to me. He would say, put her in the line by Archie Clayton. Archie is 90 or 91 years old. He's one of the oldest volunteers that we have. And so faithfully, I would put her by Archie. Because if there's anybody that I trust on Wednesday that's going to be like Jesus would be, on a Wednesday, and that's hard to do on a Wednesday because there's people, and if the button's got to be pushed, it's going to happen on Wednesday. That's what I figured out in that food line. And I'd stick her by Archie, and I could see week after week, God just chipping away at that rough exterior that I didn't quite like about her. And God was chipping away at me too. One day on a Wednesday, we had worked all day, and it was about 6:15, and I saw her drive by the church, and then I saw her drive by again and come in the church. And she came through the door, and she said, I just wanted to come in here, and I just wanted to tell you thank you for loving me. Because you've been the only person that's not looked down on me. And she said, you've made a difference in my life. And I felt so convicted because I didn't like her at first. I've never invited her to church, but I've heard her say she ain't never going to church. Never going. She called me last week, and she was crying. And right when I picked up the phone and I heard her crying, I wanted to cry because I've grown to really love her. She began to tell me about a problem that she was having in her family. And I said, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God that He's going to move. And I said, when He moves, He's going to move in such a way that there's going to be no denying that it was God. Well, a couple days later, she called me, and she was just ecstatic. She said, you'll never believe, but God answered that prayer. And I said, got a word for you. Don't ever forget what God did for you. Now, she walked through those doors this morning. Live these sermons out. Get in your word. Get in the Bible. Learn how to treat people. Learn how to ask God for that wisdom so when something comes up in your life, you have an answer, and it's not going to be one that's out of haste or irritation or in the flesh, but it's going to be seasoned with the right amount of salt. Go with me to Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at verse 18. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. If it is possible, sometimes it's not possible, but I want to tell you that most of the time it's possible. Most of the time it's possible to live at peace with everyone as far as it concerns you. Sometimes it's going to take everything you got to hold your peace and to live in that peace with everyone as far as it concerns you. It's not an easy thing to do. And guys, shut that music down for just a minute because I've got one more place after this. There was an issue that I've known about for 5 years. And for 5 years, Angie, I covered that in prayer. 5 years is a long time. And I kept covering it. And I kept covering it in prayer. Aggravated me many, many times. And I just kept covering that in prayer. See, you can either get into disagreements or you can get into prayer. But you can't do both. You can't do them both. There's times where things need to be said, and there's times when nothing needs to be said. And for 5 years, God would not allow me to say anything. And at the end of that, one day, I felt that restraint come off. And I begin to talk with someone. You know, the word tells you, if you have some ought against your brother, you need to go to them and you need to talk it out. See, there's too much talking behind people's backs instead of saying it to their face. And that's why churches split. That's why people get laid out, get offended. And that's immaturity in believers is when we act that way. I've heard it all. Well, I ain't coming to church because so-and-so is going to be there. Well, you know what? They may be in hell and you may be too. Then what are you going to do? Keep acting like that? And I began to talk to this person. And they said, yeah, I said that about you. And I said, okay. And they begin to tell me why. And you know what I said, Miss Mary? I said, I'm not going to try to change your mind. I'm not going to try to change your mind. You know, you can get old the good way, which is getting years under your belt, getting like Paul, 90-something years old, 90. Are you 90 or 91? All right. So you can get old that way, or you can get old in your 30s just by arguing with people and thinking you're going to change their mind when they done made their mind up. But there's too many Christians getting in stupid little arguments. And it's making you old and stressed and having, what do they call them things? Ulcers before your time. And high blood pressure, depression. Isn't it amazing how when you really get to tell that person off, depression comes up over you because you have instant regret? I looked at this person. I love this person very much. And I said, I'm not going to try to change your mind because you've already got your mind made up. try to stay on the side of right. You can't go wrong that way. As far as it concerns you, live at peace. As far as it concerns you, stay on the winning side. What is the winning side? What the Word says. Go to 2 Timothy. I'm going to show you what the Word says about these things. Chapter 2, in verse 22, I was praying for somebody today, one of the people that I'm concerned about. And God brought me to this place, and it just amazes me. I never get tired of reading the Word. I never get bored of it. I don't get bored being a pastor. It fascinates me. But 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Pursue it. Pursue it. How many of you have ever been in love before? Then we all, who's got your hand up, you know what the word pursue means. When you really, really love something or somebody, you go after it. You chase after it. What does the Word tell us to do? It tells us to pursue righteousness, to pursue it, to chase after it. It's a hard thing to do because sometimes we're tired of being right because we want to stoop down to that level. But see, you've come too far to stoop. Pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Verse 23. And guys, lower that music just for a minute, because you know what? I want everybody to see and to hear. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments. Is everybody reading that? Don't have anything to do with them. Why? Because they're stupid. The Word of God says it. Literally. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. You know that they do. How does the devil work? Through fighting and arguing. Through fighting and arguing. And it is always over something stupid. And the last stupid thing we need to argue about is whether or not somebody has the same opinion as we do. Because at the end of the day, it really don't matter what they think. And whatever they think, you are not going to change their mind. We're not going to change their mind. I've had a lot of unnecessary brokenheartedness over doing what the Word tells us not to do. I had somebody at Easter F-bombing over there while they were collecting Easter eggs for their kid. Well, how many of you know you don't need to be F-bombing over there collecting Easter eggs at the church's Easter egg hunt? Okay, I've been called everything but a white woman because I addressed that situation. Don't ever wonder why I'm crazy, because I got to go over these elementary things every dang day of the week. That person ain't been in church since the day that they did it. And what was I doing? Out of stupidity, going back and forth with this person, arguing, when you know what? I'm right. And they're wrong. And they know it and I know it. But you know what? I got to quit being dumb and arguing with them over that. Amen? Well, they come up rolling in the food bank, and they got out of the car, and they hugged me, and they said, "Pastor Kelly, I ain't got a problem with you or the church or Frank. Frank's the one that snitched him out. Over after a few guests that we had on Easter called me and said, "Hey, why are you letting people F-bomb over at the kids' egg hunt?" I said, "Look, I ain't letting them do nothing. I can't control people." This person gets out and they hug me. I said, "Look, bro, call me on a day that ain't a church day." Because see, what the devil likes to do when you minister to people and you're pouring into other people is the devil wants to get you off right before you're going to get behind the pulpit and get you in a foul mood. I can't tell you how many messages I've preached in a foul mood because I allowed somebody to pour on their garbage right before I had to do what I had to do, see? You got to learn to not let the devil bait you into some of these little silly disagreements and little silly things that we find ourselves in the middle of. And I said, "Look, bro, call me on a day that ain't a church day, because see, those days, those are reserved for God. I'm going to minister, and you're not messing that up for nobody. Not me and not the congregation. And if you really love me and God and the church as much as you're saying that you do, you'll call me and we'll have that conversation, because you're still in the wrong. And no, you're not going to be saying the F word in front of our kids, homie." I mean, the fact I even got to go over this is like, wears me out. You know? Don't ever wonder about me. Because I could write a novel. And he could write the sequel or the, I mean, he's seen it all too. I said, "And listen here. You've been laid up out of church since Easter. All over a little disagreement that you know that you're in the wrong about. Now, where I failed was letting that bother me since Easter." He's heard this a million times. There's too much stuff sticking up in your crawl that should have never gotten up in your crawl to begin with, because the moment it tried to get stuck, you should have pushed it out. The other day, Frank was limping, and it's not because I beat him. But I love him so much. I mean, this man, I adore him. And he said, this is true. He was limping, and I said, "What's going on with you?" He said, "Something's wrong with my big toe." I said, "Well, stick it up here. I want to see what's going on with your toe." Man, I like to know. If I really love somebody, I want to try to fix whatever's going on. He stuck that big toe up there, Melissa, and sure enough, there was something going on with that toe. When I first met him, he had a toe fungus, and I'll tell you, 15 years in the medical field, I looked at that toe, and I said, "Frank, you've got what they call onychomycosis, and you need to go to the doctor and get you some antibiotics. They're going to get that toe fixed." But I am very particular about people's toes, because you want to keep them all, you know? And he stuck his toe up there, and I began to poke around on that toe, and he began to say, "Ow." And he said, "Honey, I think there's something stuck in my toe." I said, "Well, I'm going to go get a straight pin, and I'm about to do an operation on you." I said, "Get the flashlight out." And I got that straight pin, and I started getting a hole there, Mama. I made a little hole in his toe. And then I took that toe, and I began to squish it. And out come the pus. See, why are we talking about this? Because we can apply this to our life. When something gets up stuck in your crawl and you want to have a disagreement over it, you need to pop that thing before it gets up in your soul and you become vile over it and irritable over it and upset over it and light up out of church over it and backslidden and offended and in discord with people. And then I got to the root of the problem, and the root of the problem was a little thorn that had wanted to take root up in his toe. And I said, I'm going to go get the tweezers. Hold on. I came back, had him propped up in the recliner, grabbed a hold of that toe. Noah's even awake now. We're talking about the toes, Noah. Got that toe, got them tweezers, and I began to mash on that toe again, and out come that little thorn. Why go through the trouble? Because, see, that thing didn't belong in there. If the Bible calls these things stupid and tells you not to get a hold of them because they're going to mess you up, I don't care what it is. Get it out of you. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servants, how many of you would say, I classify myself as the Lord's servant? See, I don't care about all these people identifying themselves as a cat and whatever else stupid thing that we got going on up in the world today. It's all bullcrap. I mean, if the people want to go to the bathroom, then they should be doing it in a litter box if that's where they're identifying themselves at. Now, I know people ain't going to like that. But them people, they done got offended and gone. It says, the Lord's servant must not quarrel. It doesn't say that we shouldn't. It says that we mustn't. It says that we mustn't. We need to dig down deep and get a hold of that verse that says, be still. God's going to fight your battle. He can't fight it if you still got your mouth running 90 to nothing over it. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, and not resentful. Not resentful. Sometimes where we've missed it is we become resentful. And when that resentment gets up in there, it's going to turn into bitterness. And then when that bitterness gets up in there, it's going to turn to unforgiveness. And then what happens? Well, your prayers ain't answered at that point. Why? Because, see, the Word says that if when you stand praying, if you have aught against somebody, go. You better get to forgiven so that your Father in heaven can forgive you. See, it's hard to be a Christian, because in order to be one, you got to do some things that are going to take some grit and some guts. And a lot of it is sacrificing how we'd like to handle things. And how we'd like to handle them a lot of times ain't right. And it says, those who oppose him must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil. Why shouldn't we get up into arguments with people? Look here, because it ain't helping them. I was reading this today, and I was saying, God, I'm worried about so-and-so. And God brought me to this verse. I'm going to read it in its entirety because it's very powerful. A lot of times we don't know what's going on, but this is it right here, folks. Flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments, because you know that they produce quarrels, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach and not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. And God pointed it out to me today, Kelly, you've been resentful of this person. The second part of this verse is what I'm going to start doing. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. He that winneth souls is wise. How many of y'all, you can say in the last 6 months, I have found myself in the middle of some little stupid disagreements that I wish now, looking back, I would not have gotten myself up in the middle of. Amen. Well, that's what I have to say. I love y'all. We are going to have a blessed week. Y'all stand to your feet. There's still some tomatoes back there and some blueberries. And hot dog buns. Lord, in Jesus' name, we thank you for everything that has gone on in today. Lord, I ask that as we lay our heads down to sleep tonight, God, I thank you that we are entering into your rest. Lord, for every person that's having trouble sleeping, God, maybe they're troubled about something. Lord, I thank you right now that that trouble's leaving, that the peace is coming, and Lord, we can lay down and sleep at night because you sustain us. And so we thank you for it. God, I thank you for protection for every single person here this week. Lord, and I ask that you'd cause us to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.